2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And chapter 10 is a popular chapter within the book of 2 Corinthians, primarily for the fact of we find within chapter 10 verses 3 and 5, which is a popular, very familiar verse for us to use about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. But there's a lot of great principles even found within this chapter and a lot of great reminders for us to learn from. And we're going to look at some of those this evening. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." So what is he talking about here in verses 1 and 2? Well, he's telling them, look, when I'm present, I'm base among you. Being absent, you think that I'm just being bold. And he says, look, I'm begging you that I may not be bold when I am present with you. And what is he referring to? He's referring to the fact of what he was talking about in 1 Corinthians, where he was going to come to them with a rod. Okay, he was going to come to chastise them for not practicing church discipline, for not doing things that are according to the word of God. And a lot of them, they were puffed up, according to the Bible. They were so puffed up that they were saying, Paul's not going to come and do anything about this. He says these things in his letters. His letters are weighty and they're powerful, but when he's present, he's contemptible. He's weak. So they're basically calling him out and he's saying, look, I'm meek and I'm base among you, but you know what? The same boldness that I have in my letters, I'm going to have when I get there. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will you? Shall I come unto you with the rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" So I find it interesting that those who were puffed up were the ones accusing Paul's boldness as being in the flesh. Because if you look at verse number two, it says, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." So what is he saying? There's some people here who are looking at my boldness and, oh, he's just being fleshly. But you know what? We see that today, don't we? When someone is taking a stand for God, or they're being bold, they're being confident, they're saying, oh, he's just being in the flesh. He's not walking in the spirit. He's not acting like a Christian. You know why they say this? Because they don't know what the fruits of the Christian are, of the spirit are. They don't know what a true Christian is. In fact, they hear pastors ripping face from the pulpit against sin, against false doctrine, and they say, well, that guy's just an angry man. Yeah, he's angry at sin. You know, they hear them ripping on these false prophets and saying that people aren't saved. These false prophets aren't saved. And they'll say, well, he's not walking in the spirit. He's not being spiritual. No, you just don't know what a spiritual person looks like. Right. You've been so infiltrated and inoculated with false teachings and false prophets, you wouldn't know a good teacher, a prophet of the Lord, if it came and smacked you in the face. So when they see the boldness of the prophet, they mistake it for being in the flesh. And it... though it was true then, it's still true today. Now go with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to read to you from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. You say, well, what is boldness? Well, boldness is not a work of the flesh. You read the characteristics of being in the flesh, it'll tell you what the works of the flesh are, and none of them are boldness. Okay? Boldness is a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit, but it's when we have the confidence to do what God has commanded us to do without fear. Okay, because the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So what does boldness really mean? Does it mean to be fleshly? It means you don't love God and you're just mean-spirited? No, it means that you're filled with the Spirit and you're willing to portray and convey God's truth without fear. Why is it without fear? Because a lot of the things in the Bible are controversial. And they go against the grain of our culture today. Right. And so if you're to speak the things of God, guess what? You're going to get some backlash. You're going to get people who don't agree with you. You're going to get people who hate you and disagree with you. But a man who's filled with the Spirit will preach that in spite of all of those consequences. Why? Because we understand that boldness is having confidence without fear. Look at Philippians 1:12 says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds..." What is bonds? He's referring to being in jail. He says, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all their places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Amen. So it's one thing to speak the word, but it's another thing to speak the word without fear. Amen. You know, kind of like, yeah, you know, adultery, it's wrong. I mean, it's in the Bible, it's wrong. Or no, it's wicked as hell.
Right.
Without fear. God hates adultery. God hates sodomites. He hates those who hate the Lord. He hates all workers of iniquity. That's preaching boldly without fear. And that's what these guys were doing. Paul's placed in the prison, and they're like, wow, this guy is like doing it for the Lord. What did it cause them to do? It caused them to have confidence and boldness in the Lord to preach the word of God in spite of the consequences. And we saw that this week, didn't we? With the ladies who were thrown into prison or thrown into jail for preaching the gospel, that dyke who arrested her and just went on this Napoleon power trip, you know, throwing them onto the ground. There's nothing new under the sun. They've always done things like this. But what does that do? That actually causes Christians who are actually reading the word of God, who love the Lord, to wax bold in the Lord.
Right.
Oh, I see you're throwing into jail. I'm gonna ante that up and go do some more soul winning. You're not going to scare us into the closets of the church and to say, well, you know, let's just do evangelistic services then. You know, let's just do track drops and door hangers. No, we're going to continue to open our mouths boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel.
Amen.
And that's what it does. Go with me if you would to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. But you know what's sad about this whole thing? Is that people who criticize people like Ms. Deborah the most are actually Christians. You know, oh, you're not under authority. You're not obeying the laws of the land. Well, you know what? You need to get your face out of your NIV translation of Romans 13 and get into the King James Bible and understand that it's biblical for us to do what we're doing.
Right.
Oh, you need to obey the laws of the land. No, we need to obey God rather than the laws of the land.
Right.
Okay? And I'm all for obeying the laws of the land, but when the laws of the land contradict what God's law says, we go with what God says.
Amen.
Don't you know you're going to suffer the consequence? Amen. Even so, amen.
Amen.
But you know, these Christians, these phonies, these sissified Christians in Baptist churches who don't do any soul winning, they want to get them the people who are actually doing some preaching, to actually opening their mouth boldly and criticize them. Well, they're just being in the flesh.
Amen.
Just like the ones at Corinth were criticizing Paul. Oh no, you're just being in the flesh. No, he's just being bold.
Amen.
Look what Acts 4:11 says. This is by the way, this is our permit. Okay, Acts 4:11 is where we find our permit. If you're ever out there preaching the gospel and they're giving you a hard time and they call the police and they say, do you have a permit? You say, yeah, let me pull it out for you real quick. In fact, I even got one. You could even take one of these. Okay, give them a copy of the permit. It says, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So what's the byproduct of spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ? Boldness. When you spend time in the Word of God, you're reading the Bible, you're meditating upon it, you're reading it, you're memorizing it, you're preaching it, guess what? You're going to get bold.
Amen.
Skip down to verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by them of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Does it say fleshliness? No, boldness. But we have this sissified Christianity today, this castrated Christianity, where they don't want to rock the boat, they don't want to ruffle any feathers, they don't want to do anything so controversial. You know, they want to be politically correct is what they want to do. They want to obey every police officer that tells them they can't preach the gospel. The Bible tells us this is what we're supposed to do. We're not Republican Baptist Church. Okay? And unfortunately, a lot of Baptist churches are. They're more Republican than they are Christian. in their core values and beliefs. Okay? But go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. You know, the God haters tick me off, but what really ticks me off is those who claim to be Christians who are criticizing those who are being persecuted. Shame on you.
Amen.
You piece of trash.
Amen.
You know, to criticize the man of God or the woman of God who's doing the work of God, and you're trying to defend the God haters?
Yeah.
You're not doing anything yourself. You know, why are you even naming the name of Christ if you're fighting against those who are actually doing the work, you lazy bum? Acts 13:46 says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So what do we see here? When someone waxes bold, they begin to speak the word of God, okay? Not just give a track, not just ding-dong ditch with the door hanger. No, they're speaking the word of God, okay? The Bible tells us, if you don't have to turn there, go back to 2 Corinthians 10 and 1 Thessalonians 2:2. It says, but even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. As you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So get that there, because people say, well, you know, you're being fleshly because you're arguing with them. It says to preach the gospel of God with much contention.
Amen.
What does that mean? The Bible says to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. And we need to fight for our right to continue to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Okay? And contend for that thing. Don't take this lying down. Pray for bold. You say, well, I'm a little scared though, you know? Look, having handcuffs on is not that bad.
Yeah.
I've had them on before, you know? It's not that bad. Okay? And so, and if you're bold, and if you're scared, if you're fearful, pray for boldness.
Amen.
And be honest with God. Say, Lord, I'm fearful. I'm scared, but I know that's wrong. I know that's sinful. Help me to be bold. Fill me with your spirit and your power to be bold in the Lord, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mind. Well, I don't want nothing to do with this. Then you know what? Then you don't want nothing to do with the work of God. Because guess what? In 10 years, it's going to be worse than it is today. In 20 years, it's going to be a lot worse than what it is today. But here we see that these Christians are like, well, he's not being bold. He's just being in the flesh. Look at verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So it goes without saying that we are in a spiritual battle, you know. And we've heard that said before many times, but it is true. And we need to be reminded of that. You know, because sometimes if we're not careful, we can get fleshly sometimes. And think that we're fighting a spiritual battle with physical weapons. Okay, you know, and by the way, I'm including myself in that. You know, if you're not careful, someone can get to your head or something, and you want to get in a physical fight with someone. Well, in actuality, we just got to remind ourselves we're in a spiritual battle. Now, this can range anywhere from getting into a physical fight with someone to just getting in an argument or a debate when you're out soul winning. You know, that you're not being spiritual at that point. You're fighting a spiritual battle with fleshly things. And in fact, later on in the chapter, he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And what's the contrast of that? But mighty. So what is that saying of that which is carnal? It's weak. So that which is not mighty is weak. And what does he say that which is being weak is? It's being carnal. It's when you're fighting, you're arguing, you're debating people. I don't want to debate anybody when I'm out soul winning. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to just drive home a point into their face and have them walk away ticked off at me. I want to win them to Christ. And if they want to argue, then I don't want nothing to do with that conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I told him. What'd you tell him? You know, that person's still going to die and go to hell.
Right.
You know, you think you get rewards for that? We need to make sure that we understand that when we're out there preaching the gospel, we're going out there with a soft heart, with love in our hearts, with the gospel, and we want to win them to Christ. We need to plead with them. We're not competing with them. We're pleading with them. Okay, we need to persuade them and have the love in our hearts to say, because look, before you go out soul winning, pray.
Amen.
You know, say, Lord, help me to win someone today. Help me to be filled with the Spirit. You know, lead me to the people who want to talk, who want to be saved. Don't just go out there in the flesh like, oh yeah, I got this down packed. I already got my Romans road. I memorized all the verses. No, you need to pray and depend on God still.
Amen.
And ask God to help you. And ask God to fill you with the Spirit so you're not carnal when you're going out there, okay? We want to avoid that as much as possible when we're out there doing warfare. But let me say this. Because people will hear things like that, and they think, yeah, but you guys just, like, you know, throw people out of your church and stuff. And, You know, you guys believe in defending yourselves. Yeah, well, if someone threatens me, and let me just make something very clear. If someone threatens to physically want to fight me, I'm not a beta Baptist. If you threaten to fight me, you say you're going to come down to church to fight me, I'm going to assume you're going to want to fight me. And guess what? You're going to get your rear end handed to you once you get here. You're going to get your hinder parts handed to you if you come here. That's not a threat. I'm just telling you and warning you, that's what's going to happen if you come. Okay? So if someone threatens to say, I'm going to come kick your, you know what? I'm not looking for a fight, but you know what? We're still going to have church on Sunday. We're still going to have church on Thursday. So if someone shows up wanting a fight, they're probably going to find a fight. Yep. Not because I'm trying to be carnal, but because I need to defend myself. Yeah. I have my family here. I have my wife here. My children here. There's the people of God who are here. And so we're not looking for a fight, but we're not beta males either. Amen. You know, we need to make sure that as men, we have this mentality. We're not looking for fights, but if the fights come to us, hey, we need to make sure we defend ourselves. Amen. Learn how to punch or something, you know. Learn how to do a push kick or a hip toss. Amen. Where's Billy Milan? A hip toss or something, you know. So don't get this twisted. Don't get it mistaken that just because we say we're nonviolent, which we're not, does not mean that we're not going to defend ourselves if someone comes. You know, someone this week and last week were threatening to come down here and fight us. And I called that person. I was like, look, if you come, you're going to get thrown out. If you come, you're going to get thrown out. And I left out the details of what that included. Because look, I don't know, if someone comes here and they want to fight, then I'm just going to assume that we're going to get down. And I'm going to assume that this person is really trying to cause harm to my family and I, we're going to have to do something about that. Right. And it's not like, well, I'm here, go ahead, take your best shot, you know? Jesus loves you. And no, at that point, I'm in, you know, protection mode. Amen. Where it's like, you're probably going to get knocked out and we'll drag you out and you'll wake up. We'll put a coffee in your hand. And a cookie in your other hand, and you can just wake up, okay? But this isn't Beta Baptist Church. Amen. So don't think that you can just come here, that the Christians are just these weaklings who you can just walk all over because our religion teaches nonviolence. Yeah, we don't teach to violate people. But if you're threatening to violate us, then at that point, we get to defend ourselves. And guess what? That's not called violence. Amen. That's called defense. Does everyone understand that? So we never want to have this atmosphere in our church that we're violent, because we're not, you know, where we're just looking to pick a fight with just anybody. Okay. But the mentality we do want to have is that, hey, we need to protect our wives. We need to protect our children. We need to protect our brethren. You know, if one of the brethren is getting jumped outside, you know, I'm jumping in. Okay. Oh, you guys are ghetto. No, that's just manliness. That's manhood. Amen. You think we should? Oh man, I'm the pastor. I can't. I'm wearing a suit, man. That's not the type of Christianity that we have here. Amen. You know. And look, if pastors in these liberal fun centers and yeah, even the Baptist churches would start preaching like this, they wouldn't fill their churches with a bunch of ladies. You know why ladies like to go to church more than men? Because the pastors who are at those churches are a bunch of effeminate guys as well. They preach to the ladies is what they do. Men don't want to go to a service like that. That's a crappy sermon to listen to. They're not getting anything out of that. Biblical Christianity, this is a male-oriented book. You know? This is a male-oriented religion. And it appeals to the alpha male. Because Jesus Christ is a man. He's not that faggoty looking long haired hippie with the dress that you see at the Catholic Church. Right. Someone tried to like offend me one time and they brought out like a Bible with that faggoty Jesus. Like, is this your Jesus? I'm like, I don't know who that is, man. I was like, that's some queer from the Renaissance or something. Right. And he just like stared at me like in shock. You know, this is not Beta Male Baptist Church. This is Faithful Word Baptist Church, a.k.a. Alpha Male Baptist Church. Amen. Okay? So I just want to make that very clear that you guys got to understand the difference between violence and defending yourself. All right? So I don't know where I was going with that, but it was good. And go to Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, we're talking about spiritual warfare. Okay? So spiritual warfare, but we do still live in the flesh. So we got to understand that our focus is the spiritual battles, and we fight those spiritual battles with prayer. We fight it with Bible reading. We fight it behind the pulpit. We fight it with soul winning. You know, that's how we fight these spiritual battles. And some of us, we need to make sure that we're fit, spiritually speaking.
Yep.
Okay? That we're prayed up, that we're read up, that we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, that we're making sure that we're doing things that are pleasing unto the Lord. Because, you know, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life.
Amen.
Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So we see there that the armor does not include anything fleshly. You know, by the way, make sure, look, I'm not against push-ups, I'm not against weight training, I'm not against fighting, you know, doing kickboxing or Muay Thai, but it doesn't say any of that when it comes to the spiritual battle.
Amen.
It says these are the important elements to a spiritual battle. Now do those other things. Because you don't want to have a weak punch. You know, Brother Mejia said, don't do any weights, but so here goes nothing. You know, no, you want to make sure that you do something. Go buy a punching bag. You know, strengthen your wrists. You know, do knuckle push-ups. That strengthens your wrists. Okay? You know, do something to make sure that you're physically fortified as a man.
Yeah.
Ladies, don't do that stuff, okay? I'm talking to the men here. Men, you guys are gonna make sure that you do, especially if you want to get married, or especially if you're already married.
Right.
Now you got a family to protect, amen.
Right.
And you know, as a man, you gotta make sure that you provide for your family, but also protect your family. Okay, from any dangers. But here, see, this list is a compilation of spiritual things that we need. And one of the things here is like, look, I may open my mouth boldly. He said, pray for me. You know what that tells me? That we need to pray for each other.
Yeah.
So pray for boldness for yourself. Make sure you're praying for your brethren as well to be bold.
Yeah.
Don't assume everyone is bold. Pray for the brethren that they are bold. Pray for me. That I can continue to have boldness. We need to pray for each other to make sure, because when the time hits and persecution comes and afflictions arise, don't assume that everyone's spiritual already, that we're walking in the Spirit. We need to pray, God, please embolden the members of Faithful Word Baptist Church. Embolden brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Please fill them with your power and your spirit to be bold in the Lord, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So we see in 2 Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And we need to make sure that we take the elements found in Ephesians 6 and apply them on a daily basis.
Amen.
Go through that checklist. You know, make sure that you're adding these things and you're putting these things on every single day, because we're in a spiritual battle. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So it says there, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a place that is fortified in order to protect from anything outside that's trying to attack, okay? But it's also ideologies. In a spiritual sense, it's ideologies or ideas that basically are set up in our minds, or that we set up in our minds through bad habits, through teachings, through indoctrination, whatever it may be. But God wants us to be mighty, and he wants us to be powerful, not so we can flex our spirituality, but so we can tear down the strongholds. You see, you need to read your Bible not just so you can have knowledge, but it's so you can tear down strongholds. You want to be a great soul winner, okay? Not just to see people saved, that's the most important thing, but so that you can tear down strongholds. You want to make sure that you are growing spiritually, that you know the Bible, that you know what you believe, not so you can just flex your spiritual muscles, but so that you can tear down strongholds. It's for warfare. And we need to make sure we have the mentality, hey, we're in a war. Don't put life on cruise control. Don't let everyone else fight and you sit on the bench. Don't let everyone else go soul winning and you sit down and don't do nothing. Don't let everyone else do the work and you just sit down and just watch everyone and just be a spectator. Get in the fight. We are in a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, and that which is being taught from the pulpit, the things that you learn in your personal Bible reading, is so that you can tear down strongholds as well, okay? The Bible tells us that Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Gates is something that you do to keep things out. So that means we got to charge hell, amen? Charge hell and the forces of darkness and everything that's evil and just fight. We're not just defending ourselves. We're actually fighting as well. Amen. You know, when you're boxing, you don't win just defending yourself.
Right.
No one's ever won just blocking and making sure they don't get punched.
True.
The blocking is for the purpose of you just knocking the dude out.
Amen.
So you can win the battle. Okay. Go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. So we are in a spiritual battle, and you know, this is true, especially in regards to soul winning, because the more we soul win, the more spiritual battles are going to arise. Look what it says in verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So what does it say? Look, God is sending us out. Jesus said, you know, as God has sent me, so send I you. What did Jesus come do? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to rescue people from the clutches of Satan. He's sending us to do the same exact thing. So we need to make sure that we have spiritual eyes, that when we're knocking on a door and that person comes through the door, it's not just a person who might be interested or might not be interested. There's a spiritual battle that's taking place that you cannot see. And when the person is rude to you, or maybe they're just not interested, don't get mad at them. Recognize there's a spiritual battle taking place here. You know, I've seen it multiple times. I saw it today where this kid was listening to Brother Politis. He was giving him the gospel and the kid was interested, and the mom just kept coming and coming and coming to take the kid away. And sure enough, he was just like, I just got a couple more minutes. I just want to share this last thing with him. She said, fine. As soon as he was getting to the very end of the message, she's like, okay, we're done. We need to go. And pulled him away. You know, I was grieved at that.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad at her. I wasn't mad at the kid. I was mad at the fact that, you know what? Satan was able to intervene and stop that gospel presentation from being finished. Now, thankfully, that seed was sown.
Amen.
Okay, and I believe that that seed will germinate one day. And Lord willing, that kid will get saved. But there, that's how we got to view things. You know, oh, but hey, they're repenting your sins, though. But maybe Satan has deceived them to become repenting your sins. And they need someone to come help them and teach them what's the right way of salvation.
Amen.
So see it as a spiritual battle. Don't see it as a physical battle that you're getting into with people. We're delivering them from the power of Satan. Now, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. We'll keep reading here. So it says here the weapons of our warfare are for the purpose of throwing down these strongholds. Okay, look what it says here in verse number 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So there's two important applications that I want to make about this very powerful verse right here. First and foremost, I want to talk about what is an imagination. Okay. An imagination is the forming of mental images or concepts that are not reality, but that can become a reality. Okay. Now, here's the great thing about imaginations. I love having an imagination. And I think the imagination was a gift from God. You know why? Because we would say an imagination for us is a vision. It's what potentially can be. It's the potential works that we can do for God one day. It's the ability that God has given to us to imagine 20 years from now of what can become or what we can do for the Lord. And why is that important? Because when we imagine big for God, we have big dreams and big visions for God, it gives us hope and it motivates us to make the certain decisions today so we can arrive at that destination tomorrow. It helps us to basically put plans into action so that we can arrive 20 years from now and fulfill that vision or that imagination we have. So imagination is very important. But we need to make sure that we are receiving the sources of our imagination from the right source, which is the Bible. Okay? Preaching, soul winning, the things that we're supposed to imagine for right. Now, just as imagination can be used for good, it can be used for a lot of evil as well. Okay? Obviously, we understand that the reprobates, they're inventors of evil things. Okay? What does that mean? They can only imagine evil things. But that's not to say that Christians or even unsaved people can't imagine those things as well. Why? Because they're so inoculated with television, Hollywood movies, and just false ideologies that can get them to think only bad things. That's why you got to make sure that you don't watch any television. Right. Oh, just a little bit. Not any television. Oh, I just like this one show. Not any. Amen. You know? And look, if you're wondering why you're struggling to pay attention in church, it's probably because of that. Where you just have to tune in every once in a while, it's probably because you're watching too much television. You need to make sure that your attention span is good enough to pay attention to the spiritual truths coming to you, because it's probably an answer to prayer that you're going to receive. It's an instruction that you're going to receive to win that spiritual battle. But here's the thing, imaginations are good, but they can be bad as well. Now, if they're gone unchecked, our imaginations can lead us down a wrong path, a dark path. Because they're very powerful. You know, for men, it could be this matter of lust, okay? Where you're just, your imagination takes you into a dark place where you don't check your imagination. And what happens is eventually you will act out that which you're imagining. For ladies, it could be fear, things of anxiety, depression, whatever it may be. And these things can inoculate your, could inject itself into your imagination, and eventually you begin to behave what you're imagining, okay? And look, sometimes people just have imaginations. You know, you come to church and you're just like, I don't think so-and-so likes me at all. And it's just like, what are you talking about? It's just like, well, they looked at me a certain way, or they smell a certain, I don't know, whatever. But you know what it is? It's your imagination. You say, well, this is not, what does this have to do with anything? It's important that you make sure you check your imaginations. Amen. That's what it says, cast down imaginations. Okay? You know, if you're fearful, stop imagining fearful things. If you're always afraid, why are you always afraid? You need to stop looking at things that are making you afraid. You know, just think about the things that you think about throughout the day. What is your mind thinking about the majority of the day? Hopefully it's the things of God, it's your responsibilities, it's work when you're at work, it's family when you're with family. But if it's this one thing that's causing you to stumble, it probably means you're placing something before your eyes, your eye gate and your ear gate, that's causing you to imagine those things. Okay? The Bible says, you don't have to turn in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jeremiah 7:24 says, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. So we see there that the imagination that they had, they walked in that. It goes to show that if you imagine something long enough, you're going to do that which you're imagining. Okay, and you can fill in the blank or whatever that may be. With everyone, it's different. The important thing is that when that imagination comes in, or you begin to imagine those things, that you cast it down and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So look at Romans chapter 7, if you would. Go to Romans chapter 7. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what are we supposed to throw down? Because what does it mean to cast down? It means to throw something down. What do we throw down? Everything that doesn't align with God's word. If your imagination does not align with God's word, then you need to throw it out. Amen. We need to have a minimalist mind. Amen. You guys know what minimalism is? You guys ever heard of that? Minimalism is like you get rid of everything that you don't use or want. You don't be a hoarder, in other words. Your house is just filled with, you ever met people like that? You might be one of those. You know, where your house is just filled with stuff that you never use, you never touch, and it's just like just collecting dust. It's like, oh, I don't want to throw this away because we might use it like in 10 years or something. It's like, throw it away and get it 10 years from now. You can save up the money to buy whatever that is. Oh, but it has sentimental value. Someone gave it to me. You know, it's a piece of wrapper or something. I don't know, whatever it may be. That's a hoarder. Well, you know, people can do that even with their imaginations, where they just hoard all kinds of thoughts. You know, we need to make sure that we do a cleanup and go in our minds and cast down everything that doesn't belong there. It's like, we're not using this. I don't need this thought. I don't need this. I don't need this. Everything that aligns with God's word, that's what I need. Well, I'm just worried about something that might happen in the future. If it's not a reality, toss it out. You know, I'm not saying don't care for anything. We need to care for those things that need to be cared for, the things that are immediate, that have to do with our families. But if it's something that it's not even real, if it's something that might happen in the future, but it's not even 100% sure, cast it out. It doesn't even belong there. Because it's only going to make you worse, okay? So we throw out everything that doesn't align with God's word. We reject it. We decide not to think about it. And then we have to bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Say, what's going to help me obey Christ? Okay, look at Romans 7:23. It says there, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So what happens if these things don't go checked? You know what happens is that those imaginations begin to take you captive. Okay. And look, I'm going to share something with you that something that I struggled with years ago was this matter of anxiety. I used to have anxiety a lot. Okay. And partly it's because I just had too much coffee. Amen. But it was just a matter of, and I remember, like, I have a relative who's a doctor, and this is years ago. And I remember I was like, yeah, I keep having these anxiety attacks, and it's just, like, getting worse. And he says, well, let me give you some drugs, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't want any drugs. I was like, just tell me what's wrong with me. And he goes, well, typically your anxiety is a result of you imagining something, and then you think it's going to happen, and therefore, because you're thinking about it, you know, you just go into just this panic mode. And once he said that, it just clicked, and I was just thinking to myself, I'm in sin, man. Because I'm not thinking of those things which are lovely, those things which are true, those things which are righteous, those things which are holy. So I'm not taking my thoughts captive. And as soon as he said that, I hit that thing running. And when he said that, I fought that tooth and nail to make sure that I had the right thoughts. I've never struggled with that ever since then. Because it's a matter of imagination is what it is. You know, we need to make sure that we think on the here and now. And the only things that we allow to surpass into the years to come is those visions that we have for God. Amen. Okay. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, look, going back to that whole medication thing, Christians do that with their thoughts. You know, because the medication does not help with anything. It actually makes you worse. You know, you become a drug addict, you know, using all these prescription things, and it doesn't help any. Well, what do Christians do? Instead of going to the Word of God, instead of praying, be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the what? Peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's God's remedy. Amen. But you know what people do instead? They get into sin. They use alcohol, they use weed, you know, they get high, or they use some extracurricular activity to get their mind off of that which they're worrying. That's not going to help you. You need to get into the Bible is what you need to get into. You need to take your captive your thoughts to the obedience of Christ. That's the only thing that's going to help you in that area. Now, so this applies to our personal lives when we have strongholds, you know, things that you just can't get over. Maybe it's something that happened in the past. You know, that's something that hurts you deeply. You know, that's probably a stronghold that you need to get over, okay? And if you know that that's a stronghold in your life, don't ignore it. Don't let it be the elephant in the room in your heart. Where it's like, everything's going good, except I still have this one thing. You know, that one thing, whatever it may be, you need to make sure you handle that thing because it's going to destroy you in the end, okay? Now, this applies personally, but it also applies on a much grander scale because strongholds not only exist within individuals, but individuals make up what? Societies. And what do societies have? They have strongholds embedded in them as well. False ideologies that they believe that are contrary to the Word of God. And so we as Christians need to fight against that. You see, When a society becomes hostile towards the things of God, it is our responsibility to cast those strongholds down. Amen. When society says that soul winning is bad, guess what we're supposed to do? Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We're supposed to take the weapons of our warfare and throw that thing down. Okay? Don't take it lying down. Don't just go with the flow. Don't just go with the current of the culture. Fight against it. Amen. When they say soul winning is bad, we need to lift up our voice like a trumpet. Cry out loud and say we're going to do it anyways because that's what God said. Amen. You know, when society says that faggotry is okay, we need to open our mouths boldly and say, no, it's wicked as hell. Those people deserve death. Amen. I can't believe you just said that. Well, you know why? Because you've been inoculated by the society's imaginations. Amen. Why do the people imagine a vain thing? You know, society's filled with false ideologies, and we as pastors, as Christians, as evangelists, need to tear those things down. Don't go along with them. Now, let me give you a couple examples of this, okay? You know, obviously this already passed yesterday, but Halloween. And I know many sermons have been preached on this, but this ticks me off. The pastors, these supposed men of God, never touch this with a 10-foot pole. They don't talk about it at all. They don't want to preach against it. You know why? Because their kids are out there going, I was going to say soul winning, Halloweening. You know, their kids are the ones dressing up like devils, worshiping the devil on the 31st. So they're too scared to say anything from the pulpit in regards to that because it'll make them look like what? Like hypocrites. Well, guess what? They're already hypocrites. Because they're letting their kids do it. Oh, they're just trying to have fun. You know what? Sodomites want to have fun too. Does that make it right what they do?
No.
So don't give me this. Well, you know, it's nothing bad. It's the devil's night.
Right.
Well, everyone's doing it. So what? If that person jumped off a bridge, would you do too? No. Okay? So we as Christians, when this stuff comes around, we need to be the ones who are casting down that imagination and say, hey, just want to sorry to crash the party, Christians, but your trunk or treat is wicked. Sorry to, you know, crash the party on this whole fun that you're having here. I know you already bought your Frozen costume. But trick-or-treating and trunk-or-treat is wicked as hell. And you're worshiping Satan, actually. And your daughter's dressed like a whore. Because that girl on Frozen is a whore. Sorry to crash the party on you about that. She's not a princess. She's a whore. And every princess from Disney is a rebellious girl who has forsaken her leader, her father's. Okay, she's forsaken the covenant of her youth. She's not under authority, and she's teaching every single person who's watching her to be the same. Yep. Sorry to rain down on your parade, but I'm just here to cast down this stronghold.
Amen. Good.
And just kill the party. Okay, but you know what that's called a reality check that people need, and pastors hate that stuff. They hate when this one pastor or these two pastors get up and they say these things. Well, whether you hate it or not, you know, I hate every false way.
Amen.
So, your pastors need to get right with God and put their children in subjection with all gravity and say, we're not doing Halloween anymore.
Right.
You know, I'll order you a pizza if you want for the 31st, but you ain't going nowhere. We're not doing this. This is the devil's holiday. But the second thing is this matter of preaching the gospel, and this is relevant because of what happened this week. That they arrested these soul winners for preaching the gospel. You know, society is beginning to think that this is bad. And this is nothing new.
Right.
Even when I was at my old church, I remember when I was at my old church, I went soul winning with two other guys. And this is in Monterey Park. This is a couple years ago. And I remember we're out soul winning, and we're coming back, and the police pulls us over with guns drawn. They're like, get out of the car now. They had me get out of the car. I mean, I'm in my suit. I have parted hair. No beard at the time. You know, and they had me walk backwards. You know, this is before I knew, like, all my rights and stuff like that. And, like, and I was really young at that time. And they're patting me down and stuff. They're taking stuff out of my pocket. And I'm like, these guys are going to kill us. I'm like, what are you doing this for? And they put me in handcuffs. They put the two of my buddies in handcuffs. One of them was a brand new Christian. This was his first time out soul winning. Crash course. And they sit us on the curb. We were there for like an hour and a half. They're just going through my vehicle. And they're like, we got a call that you guys were doing home invasions. Home invasions. They said that you two, because the guy who was a brand new Christian, he didn't have a suit. He just got saved, you know? But the other guy did. And they're saying that the guys with the suits were going up to the doors, knocking on the doors, and then the other guy was going around back to basically do the home invasion. You know, this God hater is the one who called them. You know? And look, I can't stand the police, and they irritate the fire out of me, but you know what irritates me more than them? Is the God haters. Who are actually calling. They have the audacity to just waste time and call and tell people that we're out doing a home invasion. And they kept us there for an entire hour. And he's like, you're trying to tell me that you're going to these doors and trying to invite them to your church and giving them the word of God. I'm like, look at, I got tracks on me. I was like, get the invites from my pockets. The police officers did not believe me. I was like, I go to Pacific Baptist Church. It's down the street. You know, I have the invites. The Bibles are right there. Now, I will say this. This is really funny. So he's like, well, do you mind if we search your car, like your trunk and stuff? I was like, go for it. You're not going to find anything. But I forgot that my friend earlier that day said, hey, man, I'm not going to be riding my bike to work. Someone's going to give me a ride, but I took it this far. Do you mind if I put it in your trunk? I was like, yeah, go for it. So he put his bike in my trunk. And the guy pops open the trunk and he's like, oh, what's this? I'm like, okay, that I can explain that. It's like, that's my friend, you know, and then he ended up believing me afterwards or whatever. But he wasted my stinking time.
Yeah, right.
You know, when we could have been out there doing some actual soul winning, preaching the gospel, seeing people saved. And look, this even happened to us in our church, Brother Hike and Chad. When some dyke called the police on them and wasted their time, made a huge scene about the entire thing. It happened to Marcos and Justin Zong for the Sony Marathon in Santa Maria. Now, the funny thing about that is during the Santa Maria Marathon, he had the shirt that we designed that said eat, preach, repeat. And some God hater called the police and said, yeah, that guy's begging for money because it says eat, preach, repeat. You know, foolishness. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. But you know what? It's getting to a point where it's becoming very ridiculous.
Right,
and it's going to get to a point where we're going to get arrested. And they're going to throw us in jail. But you know what? That's not going to change anything.
Amen.
We're going to keep going out there, keep soul winning, and we're going to still see a lot of people saved.
Amen.
Okay. Look at verse 27. It says, When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
But Christians today, we ought to obey man rather than God. Romans 13, where are you getting that from? It's not from my King James Bible. You're getting that from somewhere else. You know? And they rather... And I'm sick of the comments. I'm sick of what people are saying. Yep. Oh, you guys brought that upon yourselves. Yeah, you know why? Because we're soul winning.
Man.
Yeah. That's the byproduct of it. What are you doing, you little weakling of a Christian? Nothing. You know, you will fit perfectly within the New World Order.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna be the police state's little slave.
Yep.
We have to obey God rather than man,
yeah.
No matter what happens. Okay, and just be ready for it. It's going to happen, you know, and look, when it happens, thank God for it.
Amen.
Rejoice, leap for joy, because it's going to take place. So look, now's the time, fellas, now's the time, ladies, to actually get serious about the things of God.
Amen.
Now's not the time to be in and out of church, being inconsistent, flopping in and out, not reading your Bible, not praying, showing up once a month, being a morning, Sunday morning glory. Now it's time to get your butt in church. Now's the time.
Amen.
We're living in the best time ever.
Amen.
To be a Christian.
Right.
You don't want to waste this.
Right.
Don't be a Sunday morning glory and just come Sunday morning to get your spiritual little high going on and then go home and do nothing for the rest of the week. You need to get in church. You need to read your Bible. You need to start doing some soul winning.
Amen.
You need to start getting serious about the things of God. Because look, if you want to save your life, you need to lose it. Yeah. You know, those who are trying to save their lives, they're going to lose it. They're going to lose it by actually being killed or something, you know. But if you are actually willing to lose your life, God says you can keep it. I want to be the one who keeps the life, amen? So I can do greater works. So don't think, I'm just going to be on the sideline. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to be a spectator. You're going to lose it. God's going to be like, psh, because he runs a minimalist program too, amen? You're cast forth as a branch. You're withered. Men gather you, cast it into the fire, and you are burned, the Bible says. You know, the Bible tells us that you're going to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. Why? Because you're useless. You're just a lazy Christian. Now's the time. And look, use these examples of what's happening this week and use the examples we see in the Word of God to motivate you to say, man, I need to stop, like, messing around. I need to start getting serious about the things of God. And don't put God's work on the back burner right now. Now's not the time to do that. Because when the time comes, you know, when the Bible says that they endured for a little while, but in a time of persecution they fell away, that's going to be you. Right. You're going to fall away. And it's going to be a shame. Okay? We want to make sure that we're read up, we're prayed up, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We're doing what we can. And look, we all grow at different paces, but we all are on the same race, though.
Amen.
We're all on the same track. We're running at different paces, but we're on the same track. And sometimes people take a break and they get out of the track, they get out of church, they get out of their Bibles. That's not the answer. Right. If you need to slow down a little bit, slow down on the track, but you need to stay on the track.
Amen.
Oh, but people are lapping me by. Let them lap you by. You're not racing with them.
Right.
Okay? Get in church. Don't be hit and miss. Read your Bible. If you feel like that's too much, slow down a little bit. Take your time. But you need to stay on the track.
Amen.
Stay in the fight, okay? So, you know, these God haters, and you know what? Let them call the police. And they sent us the little form that we can use when we go out. So we're going to be using that. Amen. But at the end of the day, here's our form, amen?
Amen.
This is the form we're going to be using. And look, carry an extra one so you can give that one to the police. Obviously, you could take this to your sergeant.
Amen. You know,
here's our permit right here.
Amen.
I can highlight all. There's a bunch of permits in there actually,
yeah.
Where God permits us to do this. Okay, and he's like, well, don't just stop doing this and don't come back. No, we're gonna come back here.
Yep.
We're gonna keep coming back here because our church is located in Omani and this is where we're gonna continue to go.
Yep.
Okay, we're not gonna disobey God. And look, so what are we doing as Christians? We need to cast down those strongholds. Throw down those strongholds, cast down imagination, and bring society back into alignment with what God's word says.
Amen.
Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I'm hoping that society and Christians who are in the society will wake up.
Amen.
And say, you know what? Maybe I'm on the wrong side of the fence. I need to get into this fight right here. The Bible says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what we need to bring into alignment.
Amen.
That soul winners are beautiful, amen?
Amen?
No matter how ugly you are. You're out there preaching the gospel, you got beautiful feet.
Right.
Okay? Maybe not physically, but spiritually. Go to verse 6 of chapter 10. We're almost done. I like what it says. Look what verse 6 says. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know what that means? When they hit, we hit harder.
Amen.
We're going to revenge all disobedience
right.
When our obedience is fulfilled. Look, that's applicable personally, that when we fail and we falter, that we need to make sure that when we correct something, when we repent, that we go the second mile, we revenge all disobedience. But in this matter of just society in general, when society pushes, when the world pushes, we push back.
Amen.
And we push hard. And we make sure that they feel it. We don't just say, oh, okay, sorry. We'll go to the other place. Thank you, officer. They're going to say, oh, no, I'm coming back.
Amen.
I'm going to arrest you, then you're going to have to arrest me. And once I get out, I'm going to do it again.
Amen.
Because this is my right, and you work for me.
Because
I'm a taxpayer, buddy.
Yep.
We don't have idiots in our church.
Right.
Look at verse 7. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given unto us for edification, not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. So what does he mean by terrify you by letters? He's telling them, look, you know, this letter, I'm sure they're reading, they're like, man, Paul's ticked. They're terrified, right? Look at verse 10, says, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. What are they saying? Yeah, he talks the talk. I mean, he's full of fluff. He's not going to walk the walk. Because his letters, he talks like he's going to do something. But in presence, he's weak and he's contemptible. The contemptible means despicable. He's just like, he's not going to do anything. Well, let's look at verse 11. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in words by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present.
Amen.
He says, go ahead and keep thinking that. Because I'm going to let you know right now that what I am in my letters, I'm going to be when I'm present.
Amen.
So just as you think that I'm weighty and powerful in my letters, that's exactly how I'm going to be when I'm present.
Right.
What is he saying? I'm talking the talk, but I'm also walking the walk as well.
Amen.
Okay, I'm not a hypocrite. And look, that's the kind of attitude we need to have as well. That what we believe, we actually believe it.
Amen.
You know, whether home or a church or when we're out soul winning, this is what we believe. And we're weighty and powerful when we're preaching, when we talk about what we believe. But it's also true when we're present before the enemies of God.
Amen.
Okay. So I like what that he said that. He's just like, you know, go ahead, keep thinking that, you know. But it's going to be the exact same thing when I'm actually present with you. Verse 12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Reminds you of like pastors who are like, yeah, we're King James only, you know. But when it comes down to it, they're not.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, they're not. They're weighty and powerful in regards to what they believe. But when they're behind the pulpit, they're little weaklings. They don't want to exercise church discipline. They don't want to even claim from the pulpit that they're King James only.
True.
What an embarrassment. To be a King James only pastor and not be willing to even mention the King James Bible behind the pulpit.
Right.
Verse 13, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God had distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. And well, we're going to finish there because we're out of time. So what's the message today? The message is simply this. Look, that verse is great. Verse 3 to 5. About casting down imaginations and the strongholds. We need to apply that personally because Satan will attack individuals. They'll attack the male, okay? By the way, ladies, pray for your husbands. Don't you, but he's not even that spiritual. God placed them there, okay? And don't think you're more spiritual than him, okay? And if you do think you're more spiritual than him, then that goes to show you that you're probably not spiritual at all. Because God has placed them there and he's the authority and he's the one that Satan wants to attack the most. So pray for your husband, pray for your children, pray for the church members that were bold, that were able to cast down these imaginations. And make sure that you have that you gird up the loins of your mind. Don't be careless in the way you think. Don't be careless about what you read. Don't be careless about what you watch. Don't be careless about what you listen to. We need to make sure that we're girding up the loins of our mind, that we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might, so that we can, not only can we cast down the strongholds in our mind, we can cast down the strongholds that are in society as well.
Amen.
When this stuff comes up, we're ready to fight.
Amen.
We're ready to war. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Please, Lord, help us to be bold. I pray you fill us all with your power and your spirit. Help us to be a church that does great works for you and preaches the word of God boldly. I pray, God, that you would remove any fear from this church from doing any great works. Help us to be bold and confident in what we do for you and to trust in you. And I pray, God, that you would reward us abundantly for it. Thank you so much for all these members in our church, Lord. I pray you continue to bless us and help us to see more people saved, even in the midst of persecution and affliction when it comes, that we would continue to obey you rather than man. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.